Hey everybody, welcome to the 16-bit Catholic podcast, the first one of the new year and the first one in a while. I've had just a rough time trying to get these recorded. It's probably a reflection of poor character. My name is Dustin Faber. I'm at 16-bit Catholic and I am your host. I am joined today by one of my oldest, dearest childhood friends that I have not talked to in a while. So we're gonna remedy that in the year 2015. Joseph Majors, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Dustin. Good to hear your voice again. Good to talk. I didn't know this was the first one of the new year. That's exciting.
Well, I mean, the new year's only 10 days old, so...
Whatever.
I mean, there's babies who are not even that old, so, you know, I don't know. But, do you go by Joseph or Joey now?
Well, it depends on if you're my mom or not. We'll stick with Joey. How about that?
I'm not your mom. That would be really... That'd be the weirdest dream ever.
Yeah, it wouldn't work out. So, I mean... let's just go with Joey.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I used to call you Joseph. I wanted to make you sound important when we
were... That's true. You did, didn't you?
I said young Joseph, but I don't know. So I feel like if I did that now, I would be talking down to you if I did that for some strange reason.
You can call me whatever you want to.
I don't know why that would feel like I would be talking down to you. I mean, I'm addressing you by a formal, regal name. I mean, that was Jesus' dad's name, for crying out loud, you know? I mean, that should be a compliment, but... Where are you at on Twitter so people can find you and stalk?
Twitter, I am at, it's just at Joey_Majors. I was early in the Twitter game, so I figured, hey, I'm going to jump on one of these easy ones.
Good job
on
that.
If you can scroll back a while in my feed, there are some hilarious tweets from my elementary PE teaching days. But those ended when I got moved to the high school, and then... there was one day where I was planning on continuing this, you know, the funny tweets about teaching students and all this, that, and the other. And I was doing a get-to-know-you thing on the very first day of the high school, right?
Right.
And this girl, I come to her, and we're doing these get-to-know-you activities. I'm just asking softball questions, you know what I mean?
That's yes,
just
like, absolutely.
You know, what's your favorite song? And, you know, so, like, so I throw this girl a question. What's your favorite color? And she responded, glitter. Now, as you can imagine, I don't really know how to respond to what's your favorite color, glitter. And so I tweeted it, as, you know, anybody would.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
And she comes back the next day, was your tweet about me? And I wanted to say, no, of course not. But everybody started laughing, so I couldn't really hide it at that point. And that's why I figured, you know, maybe... You know, I didn't get any trouble or, you know, nothing came of it. It was just kind of a, you know, maybe the jig's up. You know, little kids couldn't really call me out on when I would make fun of them peeing themselves in my class, but anyway.
Well,
so that's where we are.
You didn't use her name, so you were actually, like, legally you were in the clear.
I was always.
She would have had a hard time proving libel, but...
Right. That's why she asked. She was like, were you tweeting, you know, about me? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't really actually know how I responded, but...
No, so, yeah, when I was a substitute teacher in Waldron, one of the kids asked if he could find me on Facebook, and I was like, no. Actually, he said, can I add you as a friend on Facebook? I said, no, absolutely not. I don't want a sixth grade kid that I teach to be one of my friends on Facebook. That's just awkward.
Yeah.
I mean, I would see other teachers do it, and I'm not criticizing them for doing that, but it just seems like it'd be kind of weird, you know. I'm in class, like, okay, here's your assignment, then I'm on, you know, Facebook, you know, later sharing, like, a dirty quote from Ghostbusters or something. I just didn't think those two worlds would mix as well as...
Now, let's softball this out, Dustin. I hear a lot of, you know, I'm in the education profession, right? I'm a teacher, and I coach a couple different sports, but I hear this debate all the time. I hear people... talk about, is it wrong or is it right for teachers to be friends with students on Facebook or social media, you know, whatever. What are your thoughts on the matter?
If I was a teacher, I wouldn't do it because I don't want to blur any professional lines. Not that I think I would get in trouble, but I don't want the kid to feel like, oh, if I'm friends with them on Facebook, maybe I can get some special treatment. Or even if they're not thinking that, you know, if we're friends on Facebook and then, you know, they get in trouble in class, maybe they're like, well, I thought this person was my friend. Why are they criticizing me or something? So, you know,
right.
I never want to do that. I never want to put anybody in that position. I would have felt weird if I had done that in high school, if I had added one of my teachers onto Facebook, and then they turn around, and it's like, you know, it's just such a weird, you know, it's almost like you're in limbo or purgatory or something. Are you friends with this person, or are you, you know, professional with this person? And you know, that's not the same in the adult world, because, you know, adults can kind of separate those two when they need to separate them, but I don't think a kid can separate those two worlds as much. So that would be my stance on it. But I haven't done enough research on that to say if that is 100% accurate or not. What about you? So no Facebook friending for you for kids?
Well, so here's where I fall on the spectrum. I totally agree with anybody that doesn't, you know, like yourself. I totally agree with the idea that it would probably be easier and simpler not to. I do, and there's a number of reasons. The first reason is, you know, when I got into education, I just kind of, you know, my stance on it is there are certain things I gave up when I got into education. Now, you know, I know some teachers and coaches that have, like, a personal social media page on whatever, you know, forum that may be, and then they've got their, you know, public one for students to be friends with on and all that kind of thing. Now, I don't do that.
That makes sense.
I very easily could, but I kind of just treat mine as a, I'm very conservative with it, you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
I make announcements for my athletic teams, I brag on athletic teams, you know, I don't really post anything too controversial on there, and I realize, you know, some people may view that as a sacrifice of their social media usage, but that's not really that big of a deal to me, so that's kind of the way I've gone with it, and, you know, I'm just careful with it. I guess I treat it as...
treat it the same way you would treat it, like, being in the classroom or whatever.
Yeah, pretty much, you know.
I guess another way around that would be to have your own Facebook page for your friends and family and things like that, but then set, like, an actual Facebook page, like, itself, like, that people can click like on and have that be for your students. That seems like that would be a good compromise. That's probably what I would end up doing, because I could see the page being, you know, handy, you know, oh, by the way, here's the assignment, or, you know, something like that, you know, give people help on their homework. They can write in and ask, hey, you know, I have a question about this question on page 37. What does this mean? And then you could tell them that way. So I do see the benefit of that, but I just don't want my own personal gripes in life to be fodder for kids to talk about, because kids talk about anything, man. Yeah, I mean, you say one thing, and then they will twist it and hurt you so bad with that.
Kids
are cruel, cruel people. So
they're awkward little creatures. Which, you know, you were talking about sixth graders a little while ago. I have this theory. You know, I haven't published it yet, but I'm pretty sure anything a sixth grader does, interacts with, or touches becomes inherently awkward from that point on. You know, there's no hope.
No. There's no hope. Now, I would be in trouble, though, on the Twitter front, because that's, you know, that's something that anybody can access online. So on the Twitter, it's like, well, anything goes. I've just revealed myself to be a giant hypocrite, because I'd probably keep my Twitter the same way if I was a teacher. You know, I just wouldn't be able to get on there and say, oh, these darn kids. But I have a bunch of gripes that I don't publish, so I'm sure it wouldn't be too hard to segregate that. So now you're a coach. You said you were a coach of so many different things. What is the best sport to coach?
I enjoy football. I enjoy coaching football.
A position coach right now, or what are you?
Do what now?
Are you a position coach? Which kind of coach are you right now?
Well, I am the head seventh grade coach. Small beans, but it's fun. You know, teach them the game. They still enjoy it. You know, that sort of deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun at that point. It's not quite business. Last year I was the offensive coordinator for our junior high. That was cool beans. That was a good time. Mm-hmm. And then, other than that, I coach secondary and receivers, and, those are my primary, skill positions. So.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Now, when I remember being in school, I remember Coach Emerson would yell and scream, and he would scare the bejesus out of everybody. Do you take after his mold, or are you more of a Tony Dungy?
I can't say that I do, but I can say that there are many, many Coach Emerson stories in the lexicon of Waldron football.
He's still there, isn't he?
He retired last year.
Oh, did he?
At the end of last year, yeah. You know, his grandkids are starting to get middle school, junior high, and they're doing things. And, you know, he's been teaching since Jesus, and so, you know, he had retirement kind of locked up. And so, yeah, he retired. He swings by every now and then. See him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident he's never going to listen to this podcast. No. So,
that'd be a trip if he did. I remember he yelled at me like one of my first days in off-season football because I wasn't doing the weights right, but like it was like nobody's ever sat down and taught us how to use these weights, or if they did, I knew that because I came in halfway through. It's like, why are you – if I wish I could be – there's so many times when I wish I could put like my adult like mind and experiences and attitude and stuff inside of my childhood self because feel like I would probably handle things a lot better, which, you know, I think everybody would, but I would love to say, well, sir, you never taught us how to do this. Why don't you print off some directions and put them next to the weigh machines? That seems like that would be a win for everybody right there.
It's a pretty big problem in coaching, though, especially at the younger ages. Like, you know, how old were you when you jumped into that?
Eighth grade.
Yeah, and so, I mean, like, you've never touched a weight before. I mean,
absolutely not.
There's a lot of other things that you've experienced at that point in time in your life that, you know, weights hasn't really fallen into the, you know.
No, absolutely not.
We're talking like video game controllers, like something like that. Yeah, we've mastered that at that point in our
lives.
But
you know, you've never touched a weight before, and then you get into this room, and it's like, okay, everybody lift some weights. And looking back, I don't know, maybe you guys still do this. If you do, I'm not damning you to hell or anything, but maybe you don't leave a bunch of eighth grade kids unattended with the weights. You know, like you got one coach walking around there, which is fine and good, but, you know, maybe the different coaches, like maybe the coach should be the spotter for every kid, you know, lifting weights instead of just themselves.
Or be a little more active. You know, sometimes you get those coaches that kind of just chill out while the kids are all throwing around stuff that's as heavy as they are. You know?
I mean, you'd have one coach in there, but I mean, there's like 30 kids in there. There's like 10, 15 different weight machines going off all at the same time. And I don't know, maybe some kid would probably turn around and say, hey, you should probably put a little more trust and faith into us for this. But, you know, eighth grade, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
You know, and like going back on what I was saying, like, I don't know. I see it in coaching because I'm in coaching. But you know that problem of, you know, you get these people that are experiencing something new, and you know, coaches expect, you know, an eighth grade Dustin Faber to look like one of those ESPN strongmen, you know, throwing weight around. It's just not going to work like that. You know, coaches are bad about expecting somebody new on the scene to know what they know. And you know, I don't really know what other areas, you know, you could say that applies to, but.
But, so how do you handle weightlifting in 7th grade, then?
Man, I enjoy teaching, you know, a kid, a children's, how to be safe and how to enjoy it. And it's kind of fun seeing kids. And, like, you know, I was never the strongest, and so I always appreciated when somebody, you know, gave me a little pat on the back or whatever. But, you know, even if a kid can lift 40 pounds and all of a sudden one day they come in and lift 45 pounds, I'm all for it, man, you know, and they get so excited, and that's kind of, you know, that's the good part about being a coach or, you know, just anything as far as that concerned. If you're, you know, mentoring somebody or helping somebody learn how to play an instrument, it's that kind of thing, you know. I enjoy a whole lot seeing somebody reach their goal, you know, that's what it's all about.
So what's the strongest kid you've got in 7th grade as far as lifting weights? What's the highest weight on the bench press? We'll keep it simple, on the bench press.
It's tricky because we don't really push the 7th graders just that much, you know. We you know, just their bodies aren't ready to just, like, hulk around a whole lot of weight, but yeah. I'd say probably in the neighborhood of 135 or something like that, you know.
I think the last time I actually measured myself lifting weights was in 9th grade, and I think I hit 135. I think somebody was helping me, though. I don't know how much that was all by myself.
There's no way to prove that, Dustin.
I think I could
prove you got 135 unassisted.
I think I could probably get 150 now. I don't know. I don't even know what's the average weight that a male can bench press.
Dustin, you and I went on this little segue rabbit hole. But remember that little? Were you on that trip to South Dakota? Remember that? And Brother Frank, you remember that?
Frank, no, but you, I should remember it. Fill me in. Enlighten people.
We slept nobody in TVs. I don't know. I remember there was one day, it was the day I learned about man strength, Justin Tabor. And maybe you can throw out your the day you learned about man strength. But, like, we were youth group boys, remember? And Brother Frank was the pastor. And we went to the lake one day after we did our day of painting or whatever. I don't know. And we thought we were going to dunk this grown man. Group of junior high boys, right?
Yes.
And so we plotted, and we were like, okay, we're going to sneak up on him, and we're gonna get him under the water, and it's going to be hilarious. And I'm not saying he owned us, but I'm saying his comb-over did not get wet.
This, for the people at home, Brother Frank is the living embodiment of Ned Flanders.
That's very correct. And man, he threw us around like rag dolls.
Yeah.
And that's the day we were all going, what happened? You know, all of us, like some of us were athletes and a couple of us, you know, it was like, and so when he pops in, oh, Brother Frank has man strength.
You know what that is? Well, now that I'm an adult and I'm a dad, that's dad strength right there.
Or that, yeah. Yeah, he did have.
You get strong with the kids. You can throw kids around and stuff like that. You know, you might not be the strongest guy on the block, but you know, when you're dealing with kids, you're invincible. So that's what.
Oh.
By the way, according to menshealth.com, the average guy's 3 RM maximum 3-rep bench. For somebody who's 20 to 29 years old, you should be able to bench press 100% of your body weight.
There you go.
For a guy like me, 30 to 39 years old, that is 90%. And it tapers off to 80 from 40 to 49. And then 50 to 59 is 75%. So I'm about 205 right now. So I should probably be able to bench 205. And when I was in high school, I was probably about 120, 130 pounds. So, you know,
yeah.
Hey, I did what I was supposed to do. I don't feel so bad about myself now.
I may come in a little under that, but that sounds right. You know, I'm at the top end of that 20 to 29 age range now.
Oh, boo.
Yeah,
growing old, man.
But, you know, I'm 215, and I could probably throw up somewhere around 200, a little over. You know, so that sounds... But anyway, I'm glad we got man strength worked in there. That's good.
Man, yeah, that's some lifting tips for people at home.
I think the other thing, after being in elementary PE, after tripping numerous small children myself, I'm pretty experienced. You know, you know how to manipulate their little bodies.
Yep.
You know, they get those big heads going in one direction, and you know, you sidestep it or trip it or I don't know, a lot of different ways to make that happen. But
God, I hope your employers are not listening to this. You might get in trouble for that. So,
they can't prove it.
What? So, are you going to be coaching seventh grade boys for the rest of your life? Do you ever do you have aspirations to move up and coach like high school and or you know like a small college or something? Or are you pretty good?
College, man. No, I'm not into the college scene. You know, I think you know there are times where it seems glorious and all that sort of deal, but you know, high school coaches put in notorious amounts of time doing what we do, and college coaches, man. They sacrifice a lot to do all that, you know, getting on the road and recruiting and all that. I would like to be a you know senior high or in some parts of the world a varsity you know head coach one day, but it's a work in progress. We're getting there.
I hope that you are able to during next year's football season. I hope you're able to tailor. See what I did there. Hope you're able to tailor yourself after Friday Night Lights TV show Coach Eric Taylor, probably the second or third greatest TV character of all time. So I just want you to look
really?
At the kids and say, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Now, that is a good little line.
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna ask you about this Friday Night Lights show because, admittedly, I love the movie, and I've read the book. It's a very interesting you know, the book is, you know, the movies, obviously, and the TV show don't get into the sociological aspects of Odessa, Texas, but...
I don't know. I would disagree with you on that. The TV show doesn't get into that.
So here's my caveat. I've never seen the TV show.
Oh, my God, really? Wow.
A football coach, and I've never watched... Now, I've seen bits and pieces early, of the early season, but when it got into... I felt like I was watching MTV when the paralyzed kid's girlfriend is sleeping with the other star of the football team and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, I'm going to tap out on this one. I don't really know how this is going to go. And I hear it's a good show.
That kind of relationship drama is all throughout the show, but there are so many high points to that, and so many episodes that, you know, they'll either make you cry, they'll make you laugh, they'll make you just really happy. I don't think I'd ever seen a show when I was my wife and I, we marathoned through that on Netflix about 3 or 4 years ago, and I've never seen a show that filled me with so much just like happiness and optimism as that one. It's really fantastic. I would highly recommend, especially since you're a football coach, man. You definitely need to watch it, man. But it's not a football show. It's a drama show that has football in it. But
that's a good way to describe it, because if you were to tell me, hey, it's a football show, and I get on there and it's just a bunch of high schoolers, you know, messing around with each other.
Yeah.
No, I'm not into that. But, you know, if you describe it honestly, I'm just going to go into it with a good perspective.
Well, no, I love Coach Eric Taylor on the show. He's like, you know, he is the quality TV character that everybody wants to see. You know, you always see people, he's like, oh, there's no good TV people anymore. It's all bad and blah, 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 blah. He is by far and away probably one of the most he exemplifies integrity. We should put it that way.
Okay, I was about to ask, what makes him that?
He cares about the kids, and there's one there's just like little ticks that he gives off that you know he's a good guy. Like, you know, for example, they've got a troubled teenage girl staying with them. And she is freaking gorgeous, but the camera never shows like any shot of him just kind of glancing at her out of the corner of his eye, or, you know, anything like that. Where, you know, some other show might, you know, feature, ooh, I'm gonna, you know,
I'm sure a lot of shows,
I wouldn't touch this girl, but oh, she's kind of fun to look at, you know, nothing like that.
Right.
That sounded creepy, even just coming out of my mouth, and I apologize for that. Oh, that I feel
you
dirty. Take a shower after this.
Now, I have to pause our chat for just a moment, and I have to say that in being on your show right now, I am able to mark off the number one thing that's on my life goal list right now.
Holy crap, you need to aim higher in your life, sir.
Well, admittedly, it's the only thing on the list at the moment, but I have eyeballed this, especially like when you talk about Nintendo stuff and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Why didn't you hit me up earlier?
I don't know. I was just feeling it tonight, though.
Give my poor buddy James Ryan a break from talking to me. I'm saying, hey, James, you got a week off this week. I'll have my friend Joey on instead. So
I got home and I saw the tweet and I was like, I'm gonna pull the trigger. I'm gonna text us or tweet us.
Well, you tweeted that at me and I had to look back and it's like, what is he responding to? And then it was a response about the podcast. I was like, holy cow, he actually paid attention to the podcasting thing.
I
had no idea you did such a thing.
I've always thought it'd be interesting to be on or do a podcast. And so I think it's kind of cool that you do it.
Yeah.
And now it's my opportunity to partake
shine
in it as well.
Well, add watching Friday Night Lights to your blossoming list that we have going right now. And I didn't like the movie. I hated the movie, actually. The movie just sucked ass.
Now,
I can't put it any other way.
Details, Dustin. Give me why did you hate the movie?
Because I don't think whoever Billy Bob Thornton was playing, I don't think he was a very good coach in that movie. And it made me... It was really, really hard to get behind him. For instance, very first scene of Friday Night Lights, he's sitting there, he's talking to the media, and one of the players, I think Tim McGraw is playing his dad, he's on the field berating the player. You know what scene I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, are you talking about where the dad comes on the field?
Yes. And Billy Bob Thornton, while this is happening, you can see him kind of looking out of the corner of his eyes and watching that. And to my knowledge, I don't think he ever took care of it or never addressed it, really.
And in being a coach, I know how ridiculous that is. Because if I see a dad on my field, I'm pretty sure I'm not just going to give it the side eye and go, I'm just going to sit over here and keep talking to this reporter, you know, as he like, physically abuses his son or whatever the crap he's doing, you know.
Yeah. Now, if that was Coach Eric Taylor on the TV show, Eric Taylor would have broken up that reporting. He would say, excuse me a minute, and he would have gone over there, and he would have told the guy, hey, get the hell off my field.
Probably would have dropped the people's elbow on him.
Yeah, so he would have taken action. And seeing Billy Bob Thornton take no action whatsoever, that made me despise his character, and I'm supposed to be cheering for his character the whole time, and I found it impossible to do so.
You know what? You're right. Screw him and his laissez-faire approach to coaching.
But that's why the TV show, in my opinion, just miles and miles better. And, I mean, the TV show's got, you know, 5 seasons, you know, nearly 100 episodes to flesh out its story. They're not fitting it into two hours.
You know, and that's interesting you bring that time frame up, Dustin, because, like, I love watching movies. You know, we could talk movies forever. But that has dawned on me recently.
Do other things.
Well, yeah, not for, I mean, well, that would kind of, yeah, we'd overshoot our time frame of talking about, you know, we get to a certain point where we've talked about every single second of, you know, the art of ever created, and we'd be like, well, crap, what now? But
yeah, we're older men now.
I just got a satellite this week. I've lived in my house 2.5 years. Just got a satellite this week. But up until this point, I've survived solely on Netflix. Now, don't accost me for not ever watching Friday Night Lights, because it was on there for a period of time.
Yep.
But I realized, kind of like what you're talking about, these TV shows put in hours and hours and days of character development and, you know, all kinds of plot lines, and there's so much more to it, you know, but I don't think that they get as much recognition as movies do.
No, movies seem like movies get the headlines because they make all the money at the box office, and the most prestigious awards are the Oscars, which go to movies. I think that probably is changing, though, but for right now it is. I want to go
a little bit.
You mentioned something just now that made me take pause. You went from having no cable, no nothing, to adding satellite TV. That is going against the trend nowadays. Why did you get satellite TV?
Well, I didn't want to subscribe to the wonderful cable in Western Arkansas. I don't really know what spurred it on. Cause it's not like I found myself lacking in, you know, current events or anything like that. Because, I mean, I've got internet. I've had internet the whole time, obviously.
Yeah, that's all you need.
But I don't know. I don't really know what spurred it on. I guess the ability to, like, I found that when I first got the house and, like, I decided I wasn't going to go with cable or satellite or anything like that, I thought I was going to be able to have people over, and these American people were going to be able to have conversations with me, and we were going to be able to have fun without it.
Okay.
And sadly, what I have found is when people come over to my house, unless they want me to beat them down at a PlayStation game or something along those lines, we're probably just going to sit there and stare at each other because these people don't know how to hold a conversation or, you know, do anything worthwhile without the stupid freaking TV going on. So
you gotta get some new friends, man. Those people sound boring.
You know, I am in a part of the world where not a lot of, you know, just random people I would kind of want to hang out with. You
know. Now, I know you probably want the ESPN and stuff on DirecTV, right?
Well, and see, that was the deal, too, is, you know, ESPN and SEC Network and, you know, being a coach, it's nice to be able to record TV shows and all that kind of deal.
Well, they've got a thing now. It just came out a few days. Well, it was announced a few days ago, but it's coming out the end of January. Dish Network has a new service. It's called Sling TV, and it's
I got it.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. Apparently, my little deal. I've got the box sitting here on my living room floor. It's Hopper with Sling. I don't know what that
means. Oh, no, this is just something completely different. This is just a web service, kind of like, you know, Netflix or whatever.
Oh, they told me all about that.
Yeah, but they Sling TV will live stream 12 channels in, like, the starter pack, two of those channels being ESPN and ESPN2. So you can get that for $20 a month, and you can have your ESPN, your HGTVs, your TNTs and TBSs and stuff like that for $20 a month. I'm totally getting that when it comes out. Like, that's just fantastic.
Because
I told my wife like 4 or 5 months ago, I said, you know, if they had a TV, if they would just offer ESPN and the Home and Gardening channel, I would totally sign up for that. And it's like they read my mind, because a few months later, here it is. So, we're totally getting that. That sounds fantastic.
Should have copyrighted that thought.
Yeah, well, that's the, ESPN is the reason so many people still stick with cable, because they can't give up their live sports, and for some reason they want to see Skip Bayless yell and scream at people. But with this service now, it's like, okay, I'm looking at this headline, I just typed in Dish Sling TV, and the first news article that comes up is a guy from The Verge saying, I tried Sling TV at CES 2015, and now I'm canceling cable. Like, that's like a bold statement right there.
And you know what that probably is? That's probably an advertisement from the company.
No,
he's
unbiased, I think. I'm not sure. Maybe he's getting paid off by the man. But so I can't talk about it anymore because they're not paying me to advertise. But
also true.
But it looks so great. And then here you are getting DirecTV in this day and age. Man, I tell you what. Oh, you got Dish, not DirecTV. Okay.
Right.
Oh, well,
so
maybe that's better. I don't know. I have no idea.
How many people are we entertaining right now?
Nobody's listening live. I tried doing it live one time, and that was a disaster and a failure, because in the little chat window, people are like, why aren't you talking about what I'm saying? It's like, well, because we're trying to do a show here. So, I don't know. I purposely don't check my numbers, because if there's nobody listening, I don't want to get discouraged and be like, nobody's listening to this thing anyways. So, probably
that's
not
the approach I've always taken everything.
Well, probably not many, because the release schedule lately has been so wonky and irregular or whatever. But I'm hoping the next few months I will be able to stabilize and get back. Now that I know I can talk to you, it's like when James Ryan, he's unavailable. It's like, well, crap, I don't have anybody else to talk to. I might as well not do a show, because I'm not doing a show by myself. That's just ridiculous. So
you could, but
you need to be able to rely on having a 5-minute spot with a guest or something like that.
Talking points. Yeah.
So, but it's more fun when you actually have somebody to talk to. So
very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
So I have no idea. I like to think we're entertaining at least a handful of people. So, that's fantastic right there.
Literally dozens upon dozens of
Dozens of fans. Yeah. Man. So you were so you have your aspirations on high school coaching someday. That's fair.
Yeah, you should
do that. I think that would be fun. And then maybe you could move on to college after that. I mean, you said you weren't into the college scene, but who knows what life is like 10 years from now? I mean, you're not even 30 for crying out loud.
Crap if I know. Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned video games earlier. What have you been playing lately?
Oh my gosh. Let's see here. So, Dustin, I know you're probably not a PlayStation guy, but I am. You've always been a pretty straight-line Nintendo guy, is that right?
Well, Nintendo, and most of the games I play on PC come out on the PlayStation, the Xbox anyways, so it's like I'd rather just get them on the computer and not have to spend extra money on a console or anything. But
PC gaming has made a comeback in my life because... and I was going to ask you what your any new talking points since the new year has arrived. One of mine would be I achieved a goal I've had for a really long time of building my own computer. I picked out all the parts, made sure they wouldn't melt each other, and then
that's important.
Made a pretty sweet gaming computer. So,
what do you got? Well, how much? First, what was your budget, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I shot for right in $1,000, and I think, as such budgets go, it went over a little bit, but I kept all the peripherals from my old computer from college.
That'll save some time right there.
Yeah, and so mouse, keyboard, monitor, speakers, I didn't buy anything new on that front, but so I was able to sink quite a bit of money into just the machine. Now, I have to give a shout out to old Compy, God love her. She made it from freshman year at the U of A to last fall, and
that's what, 8 years or something like that.
It made it a good 9 years, because I've been here where I'm at now for 5, and I was in college up there 4. So I got it fall of my first year up there. 4. We're in the better part of 8.5, close to 9 years. So
nice. My eMac, it made it from spring 2005 to March of 2013. So that's about, I was just shy of 8 years, so a little less than yours. But that eMac of mine, it served me well. But for the last 2 years that I had it, it couldn't even run Flash videos because the operating system was so old in it. And it's, you know, Apple being Apple, I couldn't upgrade anything myself inside.
Now, was it a laptop or a desktop?
It was a desktop. But it was one of the older desktops where instead of a like LCD monitor, it was actually a CRT screen. So it looked like an old bubbly TV. But you know,
I was like, one of those where Zoolander at the end of the movie, he goes, "The files are in here." And yeah. He throws it.
It looked basically like that. But it, you know, it cost me $800 when I got it, which, you know, if I was so dead set at the time on wanting an Apple computer. Now I wouldn't want an Apple computer, but at the time I really wanted one, so it was the cheapest one that they had, thanks to the student discount that companies give, which is fantastic. I saved about $100 or $200 off of it, but you know, it worked great. I just, you know, I hated not being able to upgrade all my components, so that's why on the computer that I got about 2 years ago, I built it myself. So I didn't.
There you go.
I got to put everything in there. So, but mine was a gift. I had been doing. I do the Newman Campus Ministry Bulletin for my friend Father Jim, and I've been doing it since 2008. And in 2013, I just casually mentioned, "Hey, you know, I'm not sure how much longer I can do this. You know, my computer is getting so old and crapping out. It's getting harder to put this bulletin together." And I was like, "Well, let's, you know, use money in our budget and get you a new computer." And I was like, "Oh, geez Louise." I had like a $2,000 budget to work with, which was fantastic. No way I could afford a computer like that by myself. So
there you go.
But it was fun. So all right, so you got $1,000. We'll talk about my computer later. I want to hear what are you putting in yours for your $1,000?
Well, so, and here's the other thing that I saved money on. When I got out of college, I got on a technological website, Newegg.
Newegg's great.
Oh, yeah. And I thought, man, I'm going to start this process, you know, with my first few paychecks out of college, big boy money. You know, you go from eating crap and, you know, living in a dump and all that to making, you know, decent money. And, you know, it's kind of a phenomenon. But anyway, I had already bought this super nice case. So I had, going into this process a few weeks ago, I had an awesome case. It's a Cooler Master half X or X half.
Is it a full size or mid size?
Oh, it's a beast. It's a full size case.
Oh yeah. I've got a mid size, but it's like right almost at the full size border.
Right. And so, you know, mouse, keyboard, monitor, speakers, nice case. I already had all that taken care of. So it also timed out to where I was doing all the, I was starting to buy parts right at Black Friday, you know, and Cyber Monday and all that kind of thing.
And that's this past Black Friday, correct?
Oh, yeah. Right. Just, you know, whatever that is now, a month and a half ago or whatever.
Okay.
You know, I started with hard drives, you know, and I hear the thing to do nowadays is a solid-state drive and a regular hard drive, and so I found some good deals on that, and I got a 256 gigabyte solid-state drive. And then aside from that, I found a really good deal on a 3 terabyte regular hard drive. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have to delete a Steam game again. And so I went for it, man. And, you know, I got them for, you know, like I said, I bought them when they were all on sale and all that kind of thing. Got them for a pretty good price.
Nice.
And so we got that, and what came next? I'm peeking on the inside
motherboard.
Of here.
Kinda. You need a motherboard.
I don't think I bought the motherboard until I may have gotten it that same night. I'm pretty sure that first night I sat down and I got the motherboard, and I got the hard drives knocked out.
All right.
I have an MSI Z97 GD65 gaming motherboard.
Okay, that's good.
Pretty sweet, yeah. Pretty sweet. And then I found a good deal on 16 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
So it's got a healthy.
That's healthy.
Got a healthy chunk of RAM. Oh yeah.
Now I don't think you will never need more than 8 gig of RAM, but I guess it's good to have that backup in case something fails or something like that. But
I never wanted to have to worry about it. So I said to myself,
future-proofing.
And plus,
that.
It was on sale too. It was another one of those things I found on Newegg. They were having a good deal, and so I was like, "Yep, doing it."
Yep. And what about your graphics card? What'd you use with that?
I got a Let me find the box. I got a I went with the NVIDIA. You know, there's the Radeon and there's the NVIDIA stuff.
Yeah, I like the NVIDIA better.
I threw all the boxes out this week. I bet I can pull this up.
Was
here.
It like 900 series or 700 series or 600?
I think it was a 7. It was definitely a 700 series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
For sure.
I've got a 660 sitting in mine right now. I'm wanting to upgrade that. I'm hoping if I got some money left over at my tax refund time, I can throw something new in there because it runs great, but it's starting to show its age a little bit with like some newer games. And when Arkham Knight comes out later this year, I want that to be, you know, running as fast as it can. So I'll probably go with like the 970 from NVIDIA. I think that's around $330.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. So that was the deal. Like, I wanted to go mid-range card because I didn't want to just go like just total ape crap, but I did want a healthy card that was going to do me right for a little while, and I'm pretty happy with what I got.
That'll probably last probably a good 3 or 4 years right there, that card would.
Yeah, and my poor video card in the old company, Moment of Silence, it lasted 9 years, you know, the better part, and it was just getting to the point where, you know, like you were talking about, the current games, it just wasn't doing it, you know, like,
yeah.
I've been sitting on I enjoy the Total War games. You ever play those or ever heard of those?
No, I have not. What do you do in Total War? Do you
play? Well,
is it like Total Carnage?
It's sort of they're interesting games. They're not really deep enough on either. Now the you control huge armies, like huge medieval era armies, and like, you know, you'll have units that consist of anywhere from like 40 to 120 men apiece. And, you know, there's tactics involved and that sort of deal. But then, on the other side of it, there's a empire building, you know, there's a map, and you control areas. There's that sort of aspect to it. But, anyway, I enjoy those games. I've been playing that a lot. Sorry, we got distracted off the gaming card thing, but...
No, you didn't. You're fine. You're fine. No, you're fine. No, you got the 700 series graphics card. Yeah, that should last you for a little bit.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I need to. I've got a few things I want to upgrade on mine. When I got my solid state drive, even just 2 years ago, not even a full 2 years ago, my 256 gig solid state drive was about $260. It's about like a dollar a gig almost. And I know you didn't pay that much money for your 250.
No, I got mine for like maybe a little over 100.
Oh, that's pretty good. But, love the solid state drive. Because on the eMac, the one thing my wife hated about the eMac was that, the hard drive and the fan inside of it were so loud. It sounded like you were sitting on the inside of a plane on the tarmac or something like that. And with the solids, I got the solid state and I got the liquid cooling system inside there. And that keeps this thing just like uber quiet right now. I mean, you can't even hear it. So, and because the computer for most times sits like right next to the living room. And I didn't want that noise from that computer. And then I wanted a liquid cooling. I wanted to keep it as cool as possible because that'll keep your parts healthier for much longer if they're not heating up as much. That's why I don't overclock my processor or anything because I want it to last as long as I can.
I messed with any of that. You know, I didn't do that with my old computer, and my old computer, I never had to change anything in it for 9 years. And so I thought about doing the liquid cooling thing, man, but I just wasn't sure about it, and like this being my first time building a computer, I was pretty nervous about just the rest of it in general.
Yeah,
because I didn't really solicit any help, you know.
That's fine.
And
next
whenever
you get ready to upgrade, though, that'd be one of the first upgrades I would recommend.
For sure.
From now, maybe.
I pulled it up. I have a NVIDIA GeForce GTX 760.
Oh, that's not bad. It's not bad at all. I wish I had one of those in mine. So. I'm kind of jealous of you that you've got better graphics than I do right now. But my monitor's only 1050p, so if I was running 1080, I think that my would probably experience a little more choke than I do right now. But
right.
Finally, what processor did you get?
Oh, processor. I got the Intel i7.
Attaboy. There you go.
4970 or 4790. You know, whatever that is.
That sounds familiar. That sounds like something I've got on mine. So.
Yeah. Again, it was like one of the highest rated on Newegg, and I was like, I had been eyeballing it for a while, and I was like, I was going back, like, do I want to go cheap and get the, you know, the, what's the crap, AMD stuff, or, you know, because those are a lot more economical, but
they just might not.
I thought, you know, we're building this, you know, mecca to computer gaming, and I'm not gonna wimp out now. We're gonna go for the gold. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I want to future-proof mine as much as possible, so I spent the most money. I've got an i7-3770 in mine with that's a 3.4 gigahertz and 8 gigs of RAM on Windows 64. Not Windows 64, Windows 7 64-bit. But I'm hoping that this thing will last me, 5 years before I have to upgrade that processor. I think it will because, I mean, you see a lot of games now that just run on, on two cores or whatever still. So I've got four healthy cores in there, knock on wood, hopefully nothing breaks inside of there, but
God willing.
Yeah, but so I'll probably upgrade the graphics card first before I upgrade anything else, and I think everything else could probably stay in there for another 3 or 4 years. But that's encouraging that you built your own computer, because so many people don't even want to go through the hassle of that. And it's like if you just put a little time and effort into getting the computer parts that you specifically want, you're going to have a better experience. Like, I'll hear all these people that are like, oh, I can't get any games to run on my computer. It's like, what kind of computer they got? They got like a $300 laptop, and they're expecting to run everything on like ultra settings. It's like, no, you can't do that. I'm sorry. You can run it on low settings, and I mean, there's a lot of games that will run great on a laptop. I mean, if you've got a cheap computer, don't let that stop you from going out and seeking good games. But if you're expecting, super amazing quality on like a cheap computer, you kind of get your priorities mixed up there. So.
I chuckle anytime I hear someone say gaming laptop. It's just, you can't do it. I don't know. I've seen too many, like, guy I knew in college, he had a quote unquote gaming laptop.
Yeah.
And it made great grilled cheeses. You know, it got real hot. but other than that, you know, he played games on it, stuff like that, but.
Yeah,
you can't have children now. It's whatever.
I just like the idea. I don't want to get a laptop from. I mean, maybe a laptop is like a backup computer to take traveling with me. But I just like the desktop. I just like being able to rip stuff out if I need to, add other hard drives.
Yeah.
That's the reason I got rid of. I stopped doing the iMac, because when I did get that budget for getting a new computer, I was going to get a new iMac or whatever. But then. I look at it, the new, like the lower end iMacs, the ones that are like 21 inch screens or whatever, the RAM is soldered in there. Like, you can't even replace your own RAM. It's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, man.
I'm not paying $13 for that.
And that was my deal. Like, growing up, my parents bought, you know how expensive old computers used to be.
Crap, like $2,000-$3,000.
A freaking car payment or something. But like, they bought, at the time, you know, of course, this is middle school Joey talking. It was like, they bought the sweetest, you know, like, I think it was a Dell or HP or something like that.
I remember.
Massive thing. It looked cool. You probably saw it. I mean, yeah.
Yep. We were watching Strong Bad videos on it.
Yeah, we were. And, man, that thing was, you know, I grew up on that freaking thing. You know, kind of like I grew up on my Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64.
Yep.
And my still working regular Nintendo. With Dragon Warrior games that Dustin's jealous of, but anyway, caveat. But
even on my GeForce 660 that I got in here, the graphics on it still look better than like even the new PS4 and Xbox One. Man, I got that graphics card for like $200, and it runs all that stuff. Why would I get a console if I've, you know, unless I'm just really obsessed with Madden or something? There's no reason to get the console. I mean, I don't. I know I might sound like a PC snob, but the console I do have is a Wii U, because it's games that I can't get on the PC. Like, I can get NBA 2K and Fallout and stuff like that, you know, on a PC, and they'll even run much better because you have mods and stuff. But I did get the Wii U. Because damn it, I want to play some Mario Kart. You know, I mean, that's the only way to do it. Which Mario Kart's fantastic. Do you have any
use? I watch a lot of YouTube videos of guys playing Mario Kart, and I get a good healthy kick out of those guys. Grown men playing Mario, you know, frantic mode, and they get to yell at each other. It's good times. I get a heavy dose of entertainment out of that.
Oh, it's fantastic. I want to get Smash Brothers. I want to pick that up sometime because they actually let you have a GameCube controller on the Wii U, which is amazing because I love that controller. But yeah,
I'm glad that Nintendo made a wise choice as far as their controller finally. They made some pretty boneheaded controller decisions there for a while.
Yeah, I didn't like that Nintendo 64 controller, man. I know that might be an unpopular opinion, but that controller is not so good.
You know, at the time, we were all like, man, look at this controller. It's got three ways, three things to hold on to and a stick.
Yeah, and it's like a giant fork or something. But
you mess with it now, and it's like, what the heck is this thing? I'm all, you know what?
Yeah.
It's like ecstatic with this thing, you know? But I've always wanted Nintendo to succeed, but, you know, they've kind of lagged behind a little bit with their consoles of late. But
they're picking it up. We got a 3DS a while back, and that thing is just too much fun right there. I think I like the 3DS more than the Wii U, to be quite honest with you. But
Right.
That 3DS, man. I went from a PSP to a 3DS, but I got an old Game Boy still. I've got that rocking, and one of my friends on Twitter, he goes by Urza's Rage. He modded, let me make sure his name is Urza's Rage. Dustin looks up things on Twitter that are boring. Jonathan Chapman's his name. He modded the Game Boy for me to where he added a backlight to it. I mean, you can't turn the backlight off, but instead
of
that old, like, you know, black and white screen, which it was fine to look at way back in the day, but I think now we're so spoiled by smartphones and tablets and stuff that I've got no patience for that old Game Boy screen. But he added, like an orange backlight into it so I can actually see the games no matter what the lighting is. And that's made Game Boy just too much fun. He did that. I sent him an old Game Boy, and he did that for about $35, plus I paid shipping and handling along with the $35. But if you got an old Game Boy and you want to experience it in a brand new light, hit up Jonathan Chapman, Urza's Rage, on Twitter. He'll hook you up. He'll get things done. So
that's pretty cool.
But so what game? So you've got the computer built up. What's what do you want to play on there? What's your big Steam game other than Total War? Or do you have another one? Or is that
I've got several. All right. So
why am I not on your Steam friend list? Answer me that
question. That's a really probably because we haven't talked in forever.
I know. I hadn't talked to you in so long. I think I removed you from my Facebook friend list. I was removing people I hadn't talked to, and I was like, well, I hadn't talked to Joey in a while. I'll just remove him. So, no malice or anything like that.
No, I completely understand.
What's your Steam name?
Let's see here.
Maybe
one of the kids in my Sunday school class, he's an 8th grade boy, and we know how 8th grade boys fail at life.
They're dumb.
But,
they're dumb as a box of bricks.
Yeah, I might take the box of bricks, but so Mage Orange, that's kind of my gamer tag. MAJORANGE, kind of melded the two together.
Is it got a little picture of Mega Man?
That I made orange? Yes, it does.
That's you. All right, cool. You
and
have
there
to
he is.
Set
added
my
me
invite.
To this.
What have you been playing? You're blowing my mind here. I wish I was talking to you years ago. You've got 161 hours on Team Fortress 2. Holy crap.
And that's another thing. I've always seen you play Team Fortress. I was going to bring that up as a game that I've been playing heavy since I built the computer.
Yeah. Team Fortress 2. I hadn't played it in about 2 or 3 months. I took a break. I have 281 hours on record playing that game. So I did not feel bad about taking a break from it.
How do I add on this?
But
admittedly, I'm not very good at friends on this.
Nah, you're fine. You're fine.
You already done it.
No, we're going to play some Team Fortress 2 after this podcast is over with, I think.
Or if not tonight, we'll do it tomorrow.
So that's easy for you to say. You have no children.
I'm happy you appreciate how much time I put into Team Fortress 2.
That's not nothing right there. I'll be honest. That's not nothing.
Here in a second, I will reveal to everyone, all the dozens and dozens of people that listen to this podcast, how many hours I put in on Left 4 Dead 2. I played that in college. See, the deal was I was a kinesiology major. That sounds tough. It wasn't. In the afternoons, I put in a lot of time on Team Fortress 2. Left 4 Dead 2. I apologize.
I tried playing that. I didn't get into it as much.
Man, I don't know why I got into it so much, but I just did. I don't know.
Not bad.
16-bit Catholic. What? Where? Okay. Oh, except. There we go.
You have more achievements. I have 100 more hours than you do, but you have more achievements than I do. I don't know what that says about me as a gamer, but...
On what?
On Team Fortress 2. I've got 151 achievements. You've got 159.
I'm mixed on achievements, man. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at some games. And then I get online, like, on PlayStation Network or whatever, and I see, like, people that have got all these... I'm not an achievement hunter, I'll admit. I get on a game, and I enjoy what I want to enjoy about it, and I don't really... You know, if I get an achievement, cool, that's pretty neat. But, you know, I don't stress out about it too much, you know?
Well, you shouldn't, because a lot of those people, they just do nothing but achievements. And, I mean...
And I guess that's their thing, and that's cool, but...
But they end up playing, sometimes you play games you don't really like, but you just want the achievements for it. I know some people do that. So or trophies, I should say, for PlayStation. But I can't do that. And I don't like doing mundane tasks just to get achievements. Like on Arkham City, Riddler wants you to go and hunt down all his Riddler trophies. Like, F that. I'm not going to hunt down your trophies. I'm just going to show up as Batman and just beat the crap out of you. You don't do that in the game. You don't actually get to fight the Riddler, but at least that I know of, I haven't got that far yet. But
right.
You know, but I'm just like thinking, like, in the real world of Batman, I can't see Batman spending all that time hunting down those trophies like that. He would just figure out where Riddler was and take care of him that way.
Right. So we're just gonna run down my list here. All right, does that sound good?
We're
gonna roll through it real quick. I'll give a brief synopsis of how I feel about each game.
Brief. We don't have all day, so brief.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I've got 27-ish games. I don't know.
I got
27,
too, so good job.
Well, here, I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk about the games I've been playing. So, like, Total War Rome 2, I got into it a little bit. Haven't really played it in a minute. The Forest, have you seen this game?
No, what's The Forest?
It's like, it's one of the survival games of the new thing, you know. It's a survival thing. You're in a plane crash on this island, and there's all kinds of creepy cannibals that, no matter what you do in this game, they find you, and they make weird noises, and they kill you, and it brings up a talking point I want to discuss with you real fast. It's a alpha game. It's one of those early access games. What are your thoughts on early access games?
If you know what you're getting yourself into, early access being you can pay for the privilege of playing the game before it's actually done. So you might run into some bugs and things like that. If you want to pay for that and you know what you're getting into, that's fine. Just don't. I just wouldn't want somebody trying to sell you that as a completed product. And you know, and it not be completed. So yeah, I mean, as long as you know what you're doing, that's fine with me. I don't care.
And talking, you know, and I think they're it's about to launch to, public alpha here in a couple weeks or something like that, and it should be polished up by then. But
nice.
Been playing that, and I agree on the early access. Like, you know, everybody should know what they're getting into. But my deal about early access is I want to see you make some progress. Like, for instance, the next game I'm bringing up, DayZ. Have you ever played?
I've heard of DayZ. I hadn't played it.
Okay, so here's the deal with the day. I bought this early access over a year ago. Now, Empires had risen and fallen in less time than it's taken for these people to make this game. And, you know, I'm no game developer, but I would expect you to at least be able to make a zombie not clip through a wall in the span of a year. You know what I'm saying?
Fair enough.
So, I understood what I was getting into when I bought it, and I played the crap out of it. You know, I've got, you know, not a whole lot of hours in it, but, look, I've got 23 hours into it. You know, that's enough of a chunk of time for me to critique it anyway. And there's just been no progress made whatsoever. I mean, they've added stuff, but nothing substantial. You know, nothing that's made me say, man, Dustin, you should get this so we can play it together. But
I see. Yeah,
anyway.
That was no fun.
Yeah. Real quick, Left 4 Dead 2, we talked about that. The big reveal, let's see here, let's click on it. Left 4 Dead 2, Dustin, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, is Team Fortress 2 like the most hours you have on any game?
Yes, absolutely.
And what was the number figure on that?
281.
Oh, Dustin, you ready for this?
Yes.
550 hours.
Jeez, you don't have children or a wife, that's for sure. Man,
I don't. You are correct on both counts.
It's You'll taken me nearly 2 years to get my 281, and you're...
I've had this game for the better part of however long it's been out, so I mean...
Four or five years, something like that?
It's been over five. I've had it since I was in college, so...
Okay, so about 100 hours a year. That's not bad.
It's a game I always jump back into, 550 hours. I will freely gloat that I got pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right, moving on. Team Fortress 2, I've been playing that a lot this week. I'm getting back into it. You know, once it went free to play, I got pissed because I had paid for it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Back in the day, that's how long I've had that game. And then, I came back around to it. I realized, it's a fun game. I kind of came back around on those goofy shooters, like Left 4 Dead and Team Fortress 2. And Valve's humor cracks me up, man. I don't know how you feel about it, but like...
Oh, Valve was great at their own original games. They're fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. The dark humor in Portal, those Portal games are hilarious. Anyway, I've been playing Left 4 Dead 2. When I got my machine, booted it up, got everything ready to go, I downloaded Steam. Ghostbusters, the video game, was on sale. Got it. It's awesome. I got it for like $3. So legit. And like Bill Murray and all those guys, they voiced the characters on there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's good.
I need to get around to playing that sometime. I still haven't, but my second highest on my list is NBA 2K14. I've got 121 hours. I think about 20 hours of those are just like me pausing a game or a match and just like leaving it on overnight because I didn't feel like playing anymore. But so it's probably not that high. And so I need to. I need to branch out though. I spent the last 2 months playing the first two Arkham games, which those are masterpieces of video games. Have you played those?
I was about to say I've always heard how great those games are, and sadly I have not played them.
Well, if you love Batman like I love Batman,
Batman.
Yeah, well, you would like it because it it really does make you feel, because you've got all the gadgets and everything like that, and the combat system is just fantastic. Like, when you punch, like, somebody, it feels like you're actually punching them. Like, you actually...
Right.
It's not just like, you're taking away a hit point. Like, Batman punches the dude in the jaw, and the dude reacts the way you would think you would be if you got punched in the jaw by Batman. But
Jacked
the combat on there is just fantastic.
I hear a game I've been playing on the PlayStation. Before I built my computer, man, I was going hard at my PlayStation, and I got Shadows of Mordor. And a lot of game reviews compare the battle in Shadows of Mordor to
Arkham,
the Batman Arkham games. Yeah.
Okay. How'd you feel about that game? Did you enjoy Shadow of Mordor?
I was enjoying it. Here in the past couple nights, I've been thinking like, my PlayStation is probably feeling pretty neglected as it should, and so I'm probably going to pull it back up here. Maybe not tonight, but sometime this weekend, and dust it off and love it again. But it's a good game. They're entertaining games, but let's see here. A couple more I've been playing since I built the new computer for funsies. I'm a closet huge South Park fan. The show cracks me up. I don't know. Yeah, it has some low points. There's some episodes I don't really care for, but. South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, yeah.
Good dose of dumb fun,
I need to get that, but I know there's probably some parts of it that'll make me, like, squeamish or whatever, but so inappropriate sometimes. But
You're the new kid in town, and as they're teaching you all your skills, they constantly warn you to never, ever fart on another man's balls.
Which,
anyway.
By the way, pick up Arkham Asylum. You can download it for $20 off of Steam or on Amazon, however you prefer to get your games.
Worth it.
And both versions will run like really, really well. City is the better game, and City's got like better mechanics and things like that. But Asylum's got the better atmosphere, because in the city, in Arkham City, you can like just go all over the place, So if you need to escape from some bad guys, you can shoot your grappling hook up and you can like go like get out of the way. But in Asylum, you're locked in Arkham Asylum with like all these villains, so there's really not many places for you to escape from. So there's more tension with Asylum. That's why I like that one better, even though the mechanics and stuff are better on the sequel.
Which one came first?
Asylum.
Is there a continuous story in there, or is it just, are they kind of separate games?
They're kind of separate. You can play Arkham City first and not know what happened in Asylum.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not really, they're not really dependent on each other, tied to each other.
Yeah, but I would play Asylum first, because if you play City and then you go back to Asylum, you know, there'll be, you know, some move sets and, you know, some gadgets and stuff that you don't have in Asylum that might end up annoying you. It's like, why can't I run and slide, you know, in Asylum?
Batman used to be able to do this. Why can't he anymore? Right, so, that kind of thing.
I haven't started Origins yet, but I've got that. I'll save in that for a few months down the road. I'll play that again. But
And then to round out the games that I've been playing since the new copy arrived, Kerbal Space Program. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of that. Yes.
It's very physics-y. You know, it's a little more serious. It's not as what I would call just, you know, dumb fun. But I've enjoyed it. I haven't played it just a whole lot, but I watched some guys on YouTube play it, and you know, it's interesting. You know, learning some different things about space and all that kind of crap. But anyway.
Well, that just sounds fantastic right there.
Games that I haven't... I'm serious this time. We're going to fly through my Steam list here.
Yes.
Assassin's Creed 2. I find the Assassin's Creed games very entertaining. You know, the storyline. I love stories. I love good story. And I feel like those games have a good story. But by God, you beat that story to death with repetitive gameplay, and it's not that fun.
I just don't want to beat the Pope to death at the end of Assassin's Creed 2. Spoilers.
Oh, is that how it ends?
Yeah. Oh, did I just spoil that for you? Yeah, sorry about that.
No. I think at the end of Assassin's 2, I think that is what happens at the end of Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, you beat up the Pope, and I love the Pope. I don't want to see him get beat up. I mean, it's not our current
right,
plan,
yeah.
So,
and that's where I kind of came into conflict with the story in those games. Like, you know, I'm not too big into all the conspiracy theory and all that mumbo-jumbo. So, yeah, I agree with you on that one. I'm not, you know, whatever. That's probably why I haven't played any one since. Let's see here, Portal. I mean, we discussed that earlier. Those games are, you know, puzzle. As far as puzzle games, though, I don't know if it gets any better in this day and time. World of Goo. World of Goo is a little cheap little game I bought. It's pretty fun. Banished was another one. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
You control a little colony, and you don't really control the individual people, but you sign them jobs and all that sort of deal. Battlefield Bad Company 2, another shooter I had. I played through the storyline and beat and never touched ever again. Dota. I've been playing Dota 2.
I tried to get into the Dota and the League of Legends. I couldn't do it. By the way, just to clarify, the Pope at the end of Assassin's Creed 2, he's not a nice guy. He says that the Bible is full of lies and he only preaches because it gives him power. So... he's really, you're not beating up, you know, Pope Francis, a good, wonderful man. You're beating up a one of those evil popes that used to be around way back in the day. So, you know,
of course.
People don't get up in arms, please. It's just a video game, you're not even beating up a good person. So.
Very different thing.
But still, it's weird. It's just weird, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to beat up an old man at the game. I mean, you're beating up an old man. That's basically what you're doing. That's not much of a challenge.
You can never tell what kind of stuff they're trying to, you know, people who make games and all that kind of thing. You can never tell what kind of rhetoric they're trying to pitch in something like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Dota 2, Empire Total War. I watched a guy on YouTube play a game called Evil Genius. It's an older game, but you're an evil genius mastermind person, and you have this base, and you build different rooms, and it's fun. Gary's Mod. I've got Gary's Mod. Haven't played a lot, but tinkered with a little bit. You know, prop hunt and stuff like that. Medieval 2, Total War, Civilization 5. I love Civilization games.
I can't get into those.
Can't get into. I understand. They're very.
I like my SimCity. One of my friends, Chris, he said SimCity is like meatloaf and Civilization is like a prime rib, if you compare the two. I was like, well,
yeah,
I don't know about that, but okay, I'll take your word for it. Since you played both of them, I really haven't.
Now, I will segue into that. You bring up my next game is the, you know, The Sims 3 I have on the Steam, but then on my Origin account, I do have...
Sims 4.
The newest SimCity. Man, growing up, I played SimAnt, I played SimFarm, I played SimCopter. I played every SimCity game. I love the sim games.
Do you play Sim Tower?
I did. I played Sim Tower.
And you said Sim Ant.
Oh yeah.
All right. That's fair. Sim Town. Well, what about Sim Town? Did you play Sim Town?
Did not play Sim Town. Sim Farm. I dabbled with. I don't think I got that much into it, but there's a few that stuck by me. But as far as Sim City games, though, not much stuck by me.
Yeah, I played them all except for the newest one because I heard it sucked.
It's cool how they kind of make the cities interact or whatever, but God help you if one of those cities tanks,
That doesn't sound like much fun. I still rock out with SimCity 4 because the mods on there are fantastic. I got Waffle Houses in my town. How cool is that? You got a Waffle House in the middle of SimCity 4.
I've never heard of this before, Dustin. You may have just changed my life.
You need to go to Simtropolis. They've got all these different buildings you can install. They edit the behavior of the buildings. My favorite is getting the rural pack because it gives your schools a bigger reach. Like you would see, like a farm town or something like that. So it reaches, the little bitty cities. It lets you, one school will cover like the whole little plot of your city or whatever. But those are my favorite towns to make, is the farm towns. You know, I'll cover the area and crops. I'll put little buildings up, and then I'll throw a highway in there, and there'll be a Waffle House and a McDonald's right off the highway. And the real McDonald's and Waffle Houses. It's fantastic.
That's the most accurate portrayal of rural life I've ever heard.
But you've got to use the mods too, because it totally fixes the bus stops. Like in the other SimCity, like in SimCity 4, the way it starts off, like every bus stop has to have like its own like individual like little building or whatever. Like that's not the way bus stops work in cities. So the mod makes it to where just a strip of road is the bus stop, like you would actually see in a big city. And it's great.
They didn't really improve that a whole lot, if I'm remembering right, but
that's the power of modding, my friend.
In SimCity, in the new one. But let's see here. A buddy of mine got me into a game called Sins of a Solar Empire in college. Played that a little bit.
All right. No idea what that is.
No worries there. Star Wars Battlefront 2. I played this a lot on the old PlayStation 2. And then a friend of mine that I game with a little bit on here, he and some of his guys were... They bought this for the cheap, and it's a fun game. It's the one where you can control like the individual stormtroopers and the different kinds of stormtroopers. Or on Battlefront 2, you can be a Jedi once you like get enough points in a match or something like that.
Yeah.
And Darth Maul kicks some serious butt on this game. It's pretty legit.
Nice.
Supreme Commander 2, Total War Shogun 2, and I used to have the old Total War Shogun, the first one, back in the day, and then. My least favorite game on my Steam list, Tropico 5.
Oh.
I bought it last summer. Didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then on my Origin account, I have SimCity and Mass Effect 3. I got for free when I bought something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Have you ever played Mass Effect games?
I tried a demo once. I didn't get much into it, but I wasn't giving it enough of a chance as I should have, so I'll go back and...
Great story, crappy ending. I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah, people wanted the FBI to investigate. I was like, what? Get out of here with the nonsense.
How pissed
people.
Do you have to be to threaten to get the Federal Bureau of Investigation
you gotta
after
be
the people
that ignorant to do that? That's just dumb.
That's pretty easy. You're hurting pretty bad.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't like the ending.
Well, we'll get into it.
No,
somebody might
it's
be
good
bad.
Idea. I don't want anybody to get
spoilers.
Spoiled on it. Yep, spoilers. Spoilers.
And so that pretty much rounds out my current. Of course, I'm always trying to hawk and find new stuff, but that pretty much
now,
does it. Now, on my PlayStation, I have to real quick get into before my computer. I was playing Grand Theft Auto 5. I beat it. Of course, if you can beat the storyline, I should say, there's no really,
there's no ending to the online mode. No, you just keep playing over and over.
Can't get into the online mode, man. I don't.
No,
you
GTA is
walk
a story
out of your
game.
Apartment, and you get shot in the face. You wind up back in your apartment, and it's just not fun to me. I don't know.
I want to get it for the first person mode on the PC a few months from now, but I've had this whole thing, and I guess this would be a good time to explain it, like as far as like over the last 4 or 5 months, I've really gotten back into Batman. Like, you know, started picking up the comics. I got The Dark Knight on Blu-ray, which might be the second best movie of all time. And,
Wait, did you say The Dark Knight?
Yes.
I would agree with that. It's a great movie.
Joker is fantastic. Christian Bale is fantastic. Morgan Freeman. Everybody in that movie is just fantastic. Second best movie ever. And, But the thing I've felt myself feeling now is, like, Batman takes care of all these problems and everything, and he doesn't kill anybody. And I find that so admirable. That's part of, you know, my own, like, personal beliefs, you know, pro-life, right, against the death penalty, you know, all that stuff. And so now when I'm playing these games where I'm killing people, I'm just thinking, like, this is such a stupid fanboy thing to say, but I'm just thinking, like, Batman wouldn't do that. You know, I'm playing through Bioshock Infinite. I'm playing through Bioshock Infinite, and you're just, like, murdering all these, you know, bad dudes, you know, left to right or whatever. And it's like, Batman got through a whole city full of these thugs who are just as evil as these guys, and he didn't kill anybody. Like, he got
through. Not a one.
I think there's almost, it gets more difficult to do what Batman does. Anybody can just take out a gun and shoot people down. But to actually solve the problems and defeat the bad guys without having to resort to fatalities, I think that is a much more difficult thing to do. And that's what makes Batman, you know, better than, you know, most of us other action heroes. That's my
opinion
on that. So
it's definitely the most interesting thing for me, examining Batman and, you know, the mythology around comic book characters and all that. The fact that Batman is the one, as far as I know, he's the only one that doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah, Superman doesn't kill. Well, there's a few of them who don't kill either. I think he's just, to me, he's the most famous for that, with the exception of maybe Superman. I know, because Superman doesn't kill anybody either. Spider-Man, I don't think, kills people, but I think he's probably has killed people before accidentally, which, I mean, Batman's done that too, but, you know, just Batman is just more known, I think, for his non-lethal stance than most of
the others.
So, you know, it's just, that's kind of impacting the way I play the games, you know, as much now, because I don't feel like killing the people. Maybe that'll wear off, you know, once I get, you know, the GTA game. Then it's like, oh my God, I can't wait to kill everybody in this game. You know? But, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, because a person who is more rational than me can probably separate their fandoms a little bit better. But the other, like, but I think that also plays into the fact that the other things that I really, really enjoy on TV also feature heroes that have that same mentality that Batman has, which is no killing. Namely, Doctor Who. You know, the Doctor does not kill anybody on the show. Very rarely does he ever kill anybody. But he also has that same mindset of, we're not going to needlessly kill people the way, you know, some other action heroes might do. So, you know, but I'm going to try to play Fallout New Vegas. You can actually beat Fallout New Vegas without killing a single person. I'm going to try doing that sometime. That sounds like that might be
really
fun. Yeah, I think there might be parts where if you have like a companion or a sidekick, that you might end up killing somebody. But you, your character, if you build up your speech attributes enough, you can actually finish the game without killing a single person. And I thought that's fantastic.
That's pretty interesting.
It'd be a really good challenge. But also, I guess, also on a technical level, my other problems with those games, like the Bioshock Infinite, like, that's your only choice, is to run around and kill people. I want more gameplay variety to where I should be able to complete a challenge or finish a task in multiple ways, whether it's running guns blazing or using stealth or dialogue or, you know, a variety of other things. I think that makes for a better game when they give you multiple ways to clear a stage instead of just, you have to go and you just have to kill. That's all you can do.
I think those are the best design games, are the ones that don't force you to be nothing but stealth or nothing but, you know, the heavy on Team Fortress 2 that's just murdering everything, you know. The ones where it lets you choose what you want to do, those are the best ones.
Well, that's one of the things that makes the Arkham game so good, because in that game, you can, you know, run in there, you know, punching and kicking, and you might get killed a few times doing that, but you can absolutely clear a level that way if you want to, or you can sneak around, like, in the ceiling in the shadows, and then you can, like, drop down, like, behind people and attack them that way.
Right.
That's a lot of fun to do that. It's fun to sit on top of these gargoyles, and then a guard passes under you, and you just, like, you know, swoop down, grab him, and, you know, hang him by his feet off the gargoyle or whatever. And he's just yelling and screaming, and then you swoop into another gargoyle, and you do the same thing to the next unsuspecting guy. And that's a lot more fun, to whereas, you know, like your standard shooter would just say, oh, no, you can't hide anywhere. You just have to run and shoot things. And maybe this is just a damnation of my lack of variety in gaming. Maybe I need to experience more games, and maybe I would see that more games do have those options.
Maybe. You don't know. I'm
pondering that. So you gave me a good way to vent, so I appreciate that very much. I want to give you a chance to vent, though, because one thing we did all the time growing up, other than hitting golf balls into people's apartments, which was a lot of fun.
Allegedly.
Well, no, the statute of limitations has passed. I mean, you can admit to these things, and we're not going to get arrested. So,
okay. It was fun.
It's been more than 10 years. Yeah, what we would do, dear listener, is we would go into our friend Chuck Owens' yard. And his yard was maybe like 100 miles away from this giant apartment complex here in Waldron, Arkansas. And we would... And there were like some trees like separating it, so they couldn't see us. And we would hit the golf balls over into these people's apartments. But as soon as we would hit like a building or something, we would run into the house and hide. And I think one time the cops actually came over to the house, didn't they? And they were like, "What are you boys doing?" And we're like, "Oh, nothing."
Well, I don't think they knocked on the door. I think they drove by and we all freaked out. And like,
oh, okay. I thought they might have knocked on the door. Like, I couldn't remember or not.
No, we evaded that, thank God. But
well, one time we were doing it, and Chuck, he had like he'd broken his leg, or he had hurt his leg. He's on crutches, and we're all taking off running, and he's like, "Guys, wait up for me! Wait up for me!" He's just hobbling along. I tried to help him along, but
here's the deal about. I have to say to all the listeners, like, as far as we know, nothing ever happened to anybody's property, and nobody ever got hurt.
No, because
I think. Even on our best day, especially Dustin and I, would have never even, like, in broad daylight been able to hit these things. But
no,
it was
we
just
did
the...
these at nighttime, by the way, just so everybody knows. We did it at nighttime.
Yeah.
But we never hit glass.
No, thank God.
I remember thinking if we ever hit glass, that would be, like, the last time we did it. Like, that would be, like, our swan song.
We would have freaked out, man. Yeah,
but we would... Like, I remember we hit cars, though, so I don't know...
I think we did. I mean, you could hear it hit the parking lot. Yeah. You could hear it bounce. But I don't know. I'm sure it like hit a car at some point.
But that was
know.
Just too much fun. Whenever we'd hit a car, man, it was like drop the golf clubs, or I think we were smart enough to grab the golf club actually and just take off.
Teenage mischief.
But I was a sucky golfer, so I never hit anything. It was y'all who all got to hit it, you know, because y'all.
I play a lot of sports, but nothing makes me mad like golf. I can't.
Well,
golf is.
I was golfing the wrong way the whole time. None of you bozos ever bothered to try to correct me.
It was dark.
Well, no.
What do you want me to do, man?
When you're driving the golf ball, like off the tee, I would always like it would just like run on the ground, and so I finally gave up. It's like I can never tee off; like the ball doesn't really do anything. And my brother-in-law Shane, he golfs a lot, and I was telling him about that. And he's like, well, "How are you standing?" And I was like, "Oh, like you normally stand on the golf ball." And he's like, "No, when you tee off, your left foot, if you're swinging right-handed, your left foot." Needs to be level with the golf ball. I always had the golf ball in between my feet when I would tee off. That's why I could never hit the tee shot.
Yeah.
That's like, I went golfing with you and with Chuck and with all these different people from our church, and not one person ever thought to say, oh, hey, Justin, you're standing the wrong way. I was a little miffed at y'all guys for that. It's like, man, I could have been,
I don't know, fantastic golfer. Come down on me for...
You never said anything to me. You're complicit in this crime against my athletic skills. So
I'm sorry I didn't critique your golf swing in the dark.
It's
as we were trying to hit the apartments. Whatever.
I forgive you. I forgive you.
I apologize. I'm sorry. Truly.
No, I was.
I think that one night.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say that one night that the cops were driving by the house. I'm pretty sure. Were you there?
I don't think I was
there.
The hardest
I ever laughed at Chuck's house. That scene. from Old School, where he catches the tranquilizer dart in the neck, and everything goes all slow-mo, and, dude, you got an effing dart in your neck, man. And, you know, you're crazy, man.
The other thing we did was we would purse people, which we would put a purse in the middle of the road.
Oh, my gosh.
We were not so cruel to put, like, dog poop or anything in the purse. We just put the purse in the middle of the road and attached, like, fishing wire to it. And I don't know, what was our end game on that? What were we trying to accomplish?
Well, I don't know if you were with us on the end game ones. I'm not. You might have been. You guys were.
He did the one pursing. I remember somebody like stopped and like picked up and looked at the purse and like put it back down or whatever. Which I don't know why we didn't yank it out of their hands when they had it like that.
I have a story to tell.
Okay.
All right. So I think you were at the glorious Arkansas State University. Oh. And like I said, I don't think you were with us at this point in time. But I believe me, Chuck, and Dylan. We were at Chuck's house, and this is a coup de grace. You know, this is the last time I ever remember us doing this as kids. We were still kids then. It was Christmas time.
Yep.
You know, and in Christmas time, there's a plethora of gift bags. You know, the crappy little gift bags. With,
oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Presents on them or whatever.
For people who can't wrap presents in gift bags.
Exactly, like me. And so, do you remember? What was across the field from Chuck's? What was across the street from Chuck's house?
Oh no, there was a cow pasture. Oh no.
Well, now think about it. Think about there's a different kind of animal also in that other in the remember the Thomas.
There's horses and there's cows and there might
there was donkeys, man. The whatever you call it. Yeah, there were. Anyway, so there were those.
Statute of limitations has passed. Just reminding you of this.
Right. Yeah. And so. You're not a lawyer, man. I don't know if I can trust you. Anyway, so I go over there. You Googled that, right? Okay, well, I feel good enough. Anyway, plus, nobody we know really in Walden, Arkansas. I don't really think Alcinda's going to load this up and listen to it and get pissed, you know what I mean? Anyway, so I get over there, and she goes, Dylan and Chuck are like, man, we got something planned. And they've got the gift bag, and in the gift bag is a healthy amount of donkey poo. And so we're hiding in the bushes in front of Chuck's house, and we put the bag out there, and people would slow down, you know, and they kind of see it, and they, you know, keep on trucking, whatever. But do you remember the man that drove the brown truck with a rag hanging out of the gas cap that worked at Waldron Public Schools for quite some time?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
So I felt weird I've never put this stuff out in public forum before, you know. Anyway, statute of limitations. Here we go. You remember who that guy was? You remember anything about that guy?
I don't know the name, but I know who you're referring to, yeah.
What, you remember anything unique about that man? Not young, but, you know.
No, I don't.
Band director? You don't remember?
Oh, band director. Yes. I know who you're talking about. Gary Nichols, right?
Oh, there it is, yeah. So, do you remember what was unique about him?
He seemed like a nice enough guy.
He was legally blind, Dustin.
Oh, okay. All
right. Right. Okay. So, here's where we're at. We've got a gift bag full of donkey poo. Christmas time, in the middle of the road. Brown truck pulls up. Brown truck stops, grabs gift bag, slowly pulls off, slams brakes, throws gift bag out of the truck. Oh my gosh, we laughed so bad. And the mental image that ran through my mind was. This poor legally blind man who, like, when he read sheet music to band kids, he'd, like, put it against his nose, like, it was touching his nose. You remember that?
Yes.
And, the mental image I had was of this legally blind guy, like, sticking his face inside the bag full of donkey poo. Mm. Oh, man. That was good. Those good times.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I feel bad.
Well.
But it's hilarious.
You should feel bad, but,
But it's hilarious.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what the statute of limitations would be for stuff.
You lied to me. You said the statute of limitations applied.
For murder, there's no statute of limitations.
Well, nobody got hurt. He probably was offended in a small way, but, I mean, Gary Nichols didn't do this. I apologize.
It is misdemeanors, which that would be a misdemeanor. It is
making a guy smell donkey poo? How is making a guy smell donkey poo a misdemeanor?
because he had an embarrassing experience, but he was not.
Well, he didn't until you threw his name out there. Anyway,
he was not hurt long term by this, but year. A misdemeanor is 1 year, so you could have told the story about 10 years ago, and you still would have been in the clear. So,
oh yeah, we'd have been solid.
Even a class Y and an A felony is 6 years. So
illegal up in here.
If you'd killed him, if you had admitted to killing the man on the podcast, that would be you'd put me in a really awkward situation right there. So,
well, Dustin, there was this one time. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, this probably makes me sound bad too, but did you know we cost somebody a local election?
Did what?
We cost somebody a local election.
When?
We were doing prank calls. I don't know if you were over there, but it was me and Chuck were over at his house. And this is back, dear listener, when Waldron did not have any caller ID or
Star Trek. Those were the days.
Yeah, and I've told this I've told the story on SiriusXM's The Catholic Guy, our radio show. So this is not new if you listened to that a few years ago. But anyways, Chuck calls somebody and he's like, "This is Bob Smoot, blah, 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 blah." I'm like, "Bob Smoot, what are you talking about?" He's like, "Oh, I saw his name on a sign somewhere." I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, I'm working at the Waldron newspaper, and we're mentioning Bob Smoot, and my co-worker there, she says, "Yeah, I remember Bob Smoot. He actually ran for office one time, but you know, he was kind of acting ridiculous, so he didn't get elected." I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about?" It's like, "Well, he was making like all these like drunk prank phone calls to people." I'm like, "Oh no." I was like, I told her what happened, and it lined up with like the same time period or whatever. It's like, we cost him the election, man. Our actions.
Yeah, I wasn't on board for this one, so I stopped at Donkey Poo, man. You guys were out ruining careers. And
what we did was much worse. So if Bob Smoot is listening, sir, I apologize. We had no idea what we were doing. Of course, Chuck was on the main. They made the phone call, but Bob Smoot, it was just a funny name to say. But
Smoot, yeah. It's like, remember the clinic in Fort Smith, the Karate Foot Clinic?
Yes.
I don't know. I've never met anybody that's ever been to that, because it just sounds off.
Fun, silly name to say.
I'm sure it's a respectable place with many professional men and women, but
karate, yeah, it's like sounds like you just can't pronounce karate, you know, karate class. It's like, what? No, what are you talking about, sir? No, we got sidetracked.
Karate have kids.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about on this subject is video games, is because we played the heck out of NCAA football for so many years. How'd you feel about the series being canceled by EA Sports?
I was angered because consoles were finally getting awesome enough to not take forever when I'm trying to recruit my 20th five-star to my university, to where, you know, I might be able to breeze through that in a respectable amount of time. But, you know, it angers me because I love the games, and I love being able to, you know, play the games and do that kind of thing, but I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I can't be mad because I understand why, you know what I mean? If that was me,
yeah,
and I was, you know, one of these guys that went to one of these institutions that, you know, didn't necessarily, you know, I'll just say it, like, some of these guys flat out earned millions of dollars for these places.
Yep.
And, you know, for a long time I tried to hold to the, oh, they get an education and all that kind of thing. But I backed off of that because, you know, really, it doesn't match up. No. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of these guys, They stay injured for life, and some of these guys face things that, you know, are going to stick with them the rest of life medically, and
they
do it for what, you know? They're room and board. And
well, the thing I always come to, like, the people are like, "Oh, they got an education." It's like, have you tried to exist in the job market, like, lately? Because because you have a diploma does not mean, I mean, I've got a 4-year degree from a decent school, and, you know, it's a struggle just to, you know, find, you know, something that pays, you know, enough to where my wife can be a stay-at-home mom, you know? I mean,
right.
So, you know, these people, like, they could have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, potentially, some of these guys, you know, but they can't because of stupid arcane rules. Or even if it's not a, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever, you know, being able to make, you know, like a few thousand dollars from, you know, autograph signings or some speaking engagement or something. I think, I don't know why nobody, you know, has this as the solution, but maybe don't have the colleges pay players, but don't penalize the players if they're able to get endorsement deals or get paid from, you know, their abilities on the field. I think that just seems like that would be a good compromise. I'm sure there's probably a can of worms, but the whole thing is a can of worms.
Well, I think the when you're talking about can of worms, you're talking about when the university as an institution is, you know, if you're talking about paying, you know, if you've got a quarterback comes in and he's a national phenomenon, and he's on TV all the time, and he's selling jerseys for your university, and, you know, he's winning the Heisman, and kids are wanting to go to your school, and they're, you know, looking up your school because they're hearing about it on TV or whatever, you know, if you've got a kid like that, and you're talking about paying him more than you're paying some other kid, or, you know, if there was the you're talking about the recruitment of a kid like that, and kid, you know, schools are able to outbid each other, and all, that's the slippery slope. That's the can of worms.
Right. But it became a slippery slope when they started making millions of dollars off of the TV deals and stuff like that. Like, that's that's like the that's like the root cause of it. If you weren't making millions of dollars off of it, then, you know, there's not so much of as an incentive to pay all the, you know, try to get these players to come over. I mean, you still have would have boosters maybe, you know, paying players just because they love their team and they want their school to succeed no matter what the what the stakes are. But I don't think, you know, you would be seeing, you know, millions of dollars if college sports wasn't such a big business. But I think that in 10 or 15 years from now, I don't think college, the money-making college sports like, you know, football and basketball, I don't think those are going to look anything like they do right now. That's just my uneducated opinion. But
it'll be interesting to see what happens. You're right. You know, and I wouldn't go so far to say that
it can't exist like the way it is right now forever. Like,
it
just can't. So
there's several things that are going to come to a head, you know, eventually. That kind of like this, you know, the athletes getting compensated.
I mean, Matt Jones deserved to be paid for what he did at Arkansas, man.
Right.
Sorry, I just picked like the biggest like loser Arkansas player I could think of, and I think he probably.
He took the school's fight song and hit that line to a whole new meaning.
He was a super summer church camp counselor, though, man. How could he do it?
I don't know, man. Cocaine's a heck of a drug.
Actually, we had I can only think of two, but two super summer camp counselors that ended up being like bad news or whatever. There was one. I'm not going to say any names because it's just embarrassing. But one of them, I remember, that we all liked a lot. He got nabbed for soliciting a prostitute undercover or something at a rest stop.
Oh, dang!
You remember that?
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
We'll
say
the name off the air. I don't feel like, you know.
Right. Let's not go there.
People,
but,
or libel,
you know,
but
you know, you're talking about a few hundred.
Two out of
people,
hundreds.
You know, every year since, you know, it started. So yeah, you're going to run into that. Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, in, you know, our realm, you're going to run into that a little bit. I think, you know, it's just that.
No, nobody's perfect, but that's just those are the two personal experiences I have. But every time I hear about Matt Jones getting in trouble, I'm just like, but you were at Super Summer, man. Like, you were at Super Summer. Like, that's just feels
bad.
Just
part is he's probably wearing his Super Summer shirt as he was doing cocaine on the street.
Man, that's the most depressing thing I think I've ever heard in my life.
Isn't
Jeez.
It?
Oh, man, that's a horrible image I've got in my head now. So, which color team was he? Do you remember? Was he orange or?
I think it was yellow.
Oh, well, yeah, of course he was yellow.
I don't remember.
You're awful. Who wants to be on a yellow team, anyways?
As a student, I was in yellow once, and it was awful. It was the worst.
Sorry, you had to do it. Purple school, man. Purple school for the win.
I was purple school for two. It was legit.
There was one fatal flaw with that. Purple school was about leadership. Purple school should have gotten the worst dorms possible, but purple school got the best dorms. And you would think
it was contrary to everything they taught you that week. You know what I'm saying? I never thought about that before. You do bring up a great point.
Because what Super Summer is, it's like a three or I'm not sure how long high school is. I think high school is like 5 days. It's like a week long.
You know, it's like a half day and then 3 full days and then another half day.
But you stay at the campus of Ouachita Baptist University and you stay in the dorms. Well, you know, most of the dorms are crap. I think they actually tore Daniel down, thank God.
Oh, man. They've torn almost all the old crappy ones down. You wouldn't hardly recognize the place. It's pretty legit.
Probably not.
Campus now, but it's really nice.
If you go to Purple School, they have all the different, you know, they divide the kids up into colors, and it's basically just a way to organize people. Most of the times, the colors don't matter. For the longest time, I tried to get them to make fuchsia a color, but they never did that. But Purple School was for kids entering 12th grade, and 12th graders that just graduated, and it was the kids that their youth pastors thought they exemplified leadership and stuff like that. And so you would go, but then they would put you up in, like, the nicest dorms on campus. And now that I look back at that, that just feels like if you're, like, leadership should be, like, sacrifice and stuff like that. That's one of the things I love about Pope Francis. When he became Pope 2 years ago, he said, no, I'm not going to stay in these nice, fancy papal apartments. I'm going to stay in this, you know, these simple dwellings, because he's a leader and, you know, he's not going to, he's not going to roll around in riches and stuff like that. That's just not his style. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the people who do, you know, live in nice, you know, nice homes. I mean, you should be able to, you should be able to enjoy what you've earned, but I think that's very commendable that he didn't, that he's not staying in someplace fancy. And that made me think about Super Summer. I was like, man, we were supposed to be learning how to be leaders and sacrificing and humility and stuff like that. We should have been the ones living in Daniel, not, you know, they should have had the other kids living in the Purple School. Maybe I should have thought of that when I was at Super Summer. I could have gotten a girl's phone number or something for looking like I was so smart and, you know, so humble and, you know.
You bring up a great point, though. My whole world is shattered right now.
Are you doing Super Summer this year? Are you a counselor? Because you should bring that up. I'm going to write to him, actually. That's what I'm going to do after this podcast.
I will probably bring that. Well, I mean, I don't really know that it's relevant anymore. Now, Purple School died. It wasn't around for a couple of years. They kind of got rid of it.
Oh,
but then it was reborn into the new. It was reborn into the new Camo School.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Are you serious?
I think they spitballed the idea, like, bringing it back. But then I think the Camo was just a way. I don't know.
I feel dumber for having listened to that. I'm like that guy in Billy Madison. Like, this whole room is dumber for having listened to that. Not on you, but on Super Summer for having a Camo room.
I understand.
Oh, my God.
But I don't really know. Well, the girls get the nice dorm now, so, like, the ladies
first, that's fine.
Yeah, and I think it was an effort to, because they know the boys are going to trash up the joint, you know, the boys staying or anything else.
That's a stereotype that's probably true.
Now, Anthony, you know, which was the nice dorm.
Yes.
The Purple School stayed in back in the day. Mm-hmm. That is not the nicest one now. Now, there's still, I think one of the Bailey's dorms might still exist. I'd have to look it up. I don't know, but.
Parents are flipping? Are those one of them? I don't know.
No, those are still alive, too.
Boy, we're inside baseball talking here. Everybody is like, what in the hell are they talking about? Although, I think people probably tuned out earlier when we were Steam libraries. But
it's me and you now, man. It's just me and you.
Yeah.
Game over, man.
Ah, man. Super Summer, though. That was, I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about church camps, like, looking back. I had this conversation with people on Twitter like the other day. I feel like at the church camps, I don't feel like we had enough time to think and process all the things we learned. They gave you some free time, like the quiet devotional time in the morning, but that was it was at 8 o'clock
well
in the morning, and they've worn you out from so many activities that. You know, you might as well have made that at midnight or something like that. And then even after the I mean, they had small groups, so maybe I'm, you know, maybe my my accusations are a little off base. I mean, we did have small group time, but that was, you know, a big group setting. And then after the small group, you know, after your big, you know, mega 3-hour church service, then you have your small group, then you go to bed, and you do the same thing the next day. I think if I were running the church camp, I would want, you know, to have more like one-on-one, like personal reflection and stuff like that.
Right.
That's,
you know, you bring up another good point. Like, I think. Yeah, you bring up a really good point. Like,
well, thank you. It's okay to disagree with me, by the way. Know, it's okay to disagree with
you. No, I understand, but you know, you're bringing up valid points, and I concur with most of the things you're saying.
Awesome.
Super Summer was very formative for me, but you're right. You know, they throw a ton at you in the span of 3 days, and like, what's a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid supposed to do with, you know?
Yeah,
four days where you're, you know, how many not sermons, but like how many different little things do you think we sat in on each day? I mean, I should know.
There was, I'm trying to think of the schedule here. It was breakfast. You had a small devotional time to yourself, which yeah, right. I mean, you wanted to doze off and fall asleep. You know, maybe that was a problem with us. Maybe we should have been, you know, more diligent in trying to do that. So I guess I can't totally fault the Super Summer people because they did give us that time. But then
you sit through three, you know, big things with your color school, and then you're sitting through at least two things with your, and I mean, this isn't just Super Summer, because I mean, like I said, I still have a soft spot for Super Summer, and I still
I help out when I can,
but first talking about in general, church camps, you know, they throw a lot at, like you're talking about, how much can a kid really process, theologically and everything else, life-changing ways of thinking in 3 days, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
When they're getting so many different things thrown at them, like, you know,
it's such an emotional, and we saw that, you know, people, like, you know, they would have the, I don't want to say the kid's name because it's just kind of unfair, but I think this is a different church camp other than Siloam, but it's this whole, like, emotional thing, people going up to the altar calls and all that stuff, and then, and then, like, 10 minutes later on the bus, he's all, like, talking about, like, sex and, like, making, you know, just, like, the stupidest, dumbest, like, jokes or whatever that aren't even funny. It's like, 10 minutes ago, you were, like, or 20 or minutes or whatever, you were, like, sitting there sobbing at that altar or whatever. And it's like, what? So I feel like maybe, I don't know, I just think all those altar calls and stuff are just, like, the product of people just being so beat over the head with not, you know, with all of the church and the religion and stuff like that,
well, I
and
think
not
it's,
having time
it's
to think for themselves.
I think it's events like that, and, you know, events like, I think people like that, people that, what am I trying to say, that are, you know, let's say someone's speaking at those events.
Yeah.
And it may be, you know, I'm not trying to peg anything on anybody that, you know, does this sort of thing or whatever, but I'm just speculating, you know, like, I think it's a product of wanting to see results of what you've done at a place like that immediately, when in reality, you're not going to see, you're probably never going to see the results of 1,000 different kids from whoever knows how many different communities, you know, you're not going to see personally the life change out of all that, but...
Right.
The selfish side of you probably might want to, you know, like, look how many people came down, or, you know, look how awesome I am, that sort of deal. And so, you know, you kind of get into some of that, I think, maybe, but...
Yeah. I guess maybe I'm also biased because I'm no longer part of the Baptist Church, so I'm kind of looking back like, what did I learn then that I don't, like, apply to myself now?
You know? Also true.
But, and some other crap. I remember one of our friends, his name was Frankie, he was, or Franklin, I think, he was from, like, a different church or whatever, but it's during, like, the worship service part, and, like, he was sitting down during it, and some, like, counselor came by and said, no, you have to stand up. Like, what is that? He should be allowed to sit down if he wants to. So it's like, okay, like, you know, were we all standing because we wanted to, or because all of our counselors and stuff are like, oh, no, hey, you have to stand up. You can't, you know, sit down during this or whatever. And seeing that, like, you know, what I was telling you earlier, I wish I could put my, like, adult mind back into my teenage self.
Right.
And I would have said, hey, who are you to judge how he's worshiping? Maybe he's sitting down because, which I know he wasn't. He was just tired. But
right.
Like, maybe you're
now
sitting
Dustin.
Down to pray. You know, what if you
Now, Dustin.
Yes.
In fairness, that staffer was probably the one that's thrown on black tar heroin in some dumpster somewhere right now. So, you know,
some stupid kid. But then at the same time, I look back like, well, okay, that staffer is like 19 or 20 years old. He's not very bright to begin with, probably. You know, I mean,
right? Yeah,
a 19-year-old guy that's smart and, you know, I'll find you the cure for cancer. It's really how that works out. But yeah, so, but all in all, you know, I dig Super Summer. I follow him on Twitter, you know, which is fun to see him on Twitter. It's just a weird thing, you know, by itself. I was like, what? You're on Twitter? That's Super Summer's on Twitter. That's just bizarre. But,
Super Summer definitely, you know, they've used that, they go crazy over Twitter when it comes time, you know?
Yeah. But then the kids can't be on Twitter during it. I think that's kind of a big kind of oxymoron right there. They're tweeting about the wonderful things at Super Summer, but you can't tweet, which is a good thing. You should, you know.
No, they're on it, man. The students.
Like, you could.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Tweet. Like, they're retweeting it and tweeting stuff out, and it's, you know, and I see this in the education field. Like, there's really no, especially, like, the district I work in, we've just gone one-to-one technology, which means, like, every kid has a Chromebook now.
Yeah.
And so,
which I would
there's
think
no
turn that stuff off during, you know, church camp or whatever, you know, like, you don't need to be on your phone
right
accessing the internet. You should take that.
I mean, I agree, but let's be honest, in this day and age, limiting that kind of stuff is almost impossible.
Do they limit Twitter? Can you tweet from Super Summer? Can you do that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't take phones up or anything. Like,
oh, they don't?
Know,
they used to
They kind of encourage it. I mean, there's, you know, they each school usually sets up a Twitter account, and the speaker usually, I mean, crap, there was one year, Super Summer, where they had, like, some program that, like, showed the tweets that people were putting up on the screen in the
K-Pack,
you know, the big auditorium. Yeah, so they implement it, they incorporate it.
I am so angry now. They wouldn't even let us have our, like, CD player, even if it was Christian music, we couldn't even have that. And now you can tweet
now,
from Super
Dustin,
Summer.
You know, we all had that burn CD that had, you know, whatever written on it, and really it was DMX.
I had that. I took my CD player. I was going to listen to some Stephen Curtis Chapman, which I hadn't listened to in forever. And Chuck, being the narc that he was, is like, hey, this is what he said. He said, hey, didn't you sign a pledge to say you weren't going to do that? I'm like, oh my God, really? I'm in my room right now, which, you know what? Now I'll wrap this Super Summer. I'll wrap up my end of the Super Summer talk. Being on the adult white school or whatever, freaking best Super Summer year I ever had in my life. It was It was the year after I graduated high school, and I got to go do the Super Summer experience, but I didn't have to do the recreation time or whatever. I could go back to my
room
and nap. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I had my laptop with me. I was playing Lynx Golf 2003 or whatever during the...
Oh, man. I remember that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was fun, and I was an adult. Like, nobody could say, hey, don't do that. You know, don't put, you know, put that away. Like, no. It's like, no, you know what? It's my nap time. I'm going to play some golf. So I'll see you guys later. So that's probably, like, the worst adult chaperone, but whatever. But it was fun. I got to, you know, for our small group and stuff, got to hook up some, like, audio-video equipment, you know, and make sure, you know, the computers were up and running for, like, our lesson plans and stuff like that, you know. So that was fun. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah.
What about you? Your final thoughts on Super Summer, sir?
I'm still in the Baptist church, and, you know, I still think...
Well, good on you.
You can pick apart anything, really, and... You know,
yeah.
There's always different perspectives and stuff like that, and I think Super Summer tries their best. But, you know, in a sample group of 1,500 students and, you know, 100-150 staffers, or, you know, once you add in all the chaperones and white school and all that, I mean, crap, you're talking upwards of, you know, 2,000 people. There's bound to be some things that go wrong and stuff like that. And so,
yeah, nothing's perfect.
It is what it
Anything
is.
Anything
you know?
Run by people is imperfect. So I will tell you, though, I don't have that soft spot for Siloam Springs. Not at all.
Oh. the only memory I have of Siloam Springs, remember AQ Chicken Night?
Yes.
They cater.
Yeah, that was good.
Like the last night of camp or whatever.
Yep.
And you're intricate in this memory, I'll have you know.
Oh, how'd I do that?
I'm pretty sure I was standing in line forever. Forever.
Yep.
Forever.
Yeah, you were. That was a long-ass line.
For AQ Chicken. And I'm pretty sure once I got up to the front butt of that line, I have stomach problems. I've never gotten diagnosed with, like, an irritable bowel or anything like that. But
that's a positive.
I probably have it, but it's better to just not know because I love spicy food. So, whatever. But I get to the front line and it hits me, man. You know, that cramp in that certain part of your stomach, and you're like, oh, God, it's about to go down.
Yeah.
And didn't you know we're in the farthest freaking dorm away from the cafeteria that's got a tree in the middle of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I clench the butt cheeks and I do the awkward walk all the way back to the, you know, the dorm. And, man, I cut loose on that awful bathroom. Oh. And I remember you going, Joey, are you okay?
Aww.
And you going, no. And I think you ended up finding me some Pepto-Bismol or something like that.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah, and I think me and you ended up going back down or something like that to get the AQ chicken filing, but anyway.
Man, I'm glad I wasn't a jerk. I would have been mortified if, like, you had told me that I, like, threw water on you or something like that. That'd be a jerk move on my end.
No. You hold no memories like that, like the kids that peed in my spray fan.
Oh, that's just off. That's awful. I don't know who did that, but
I'm glad I didn't figure that out until I was grown, and
who
then
did
somebody
it?
Else told the story. I don't remember. May have to discuss that off the air. But anyway, I just remember the time, you know, it's hot, spraying myself in the face, going apple juice. What's the juice?
My... That's like the worst
glad
thing
I,
I've ever
that
heard
might,
anybody
you know,
do. That's awful.
I'm glad Well, these are the same guys that were, like, spraying cologne on people in the middle of the night and lighting it on fire and crap like that. But anyway.
Oh, those guys are jerks.
Yep, pretty much. But
super summer.
I'm kind of glad I was protected from that for a while because, like, I was pretty new to Christianity at the time. And, like, if someone had pissed in my face, basically, I might have said deuces and, you know, gone, not come back, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, I wouldn't blame you if you did, you know, or at least go and find, like, a completely different branch of Christianity or a completely different set of, like, church groups or whatever. Yeah, I wouldn't blame
you. Right.
But
and then you and I wouldn't have all these memories.
No, it would be sad is what that would be. But the other memory of Siloam Springs, just one word, Barney.
Barney, you said it.
Barney was a security guard, this heavy set security guard that he drove around on his four wheeler at night. It's the only thing I ever saw him do, and he just made sure everybody turned off their lights. That was it. And I think that's all Barney ever did. But Siloam Springs, just, you know, you're sitting in these cabins that aren't air conditioned in, like, the middle of the summer, and you can't really do anything about it, you know, because you can't just go into, like, an air conditioned place or whatever.
No, you can't.
We sound like wimps. We can't, you know, hack it in the outdoors. But, you know, people who hack it in the outdoors, they had access to better equipment and better supplies and stuff than we did. You know, they would always have, you know, maybe water on hand. But you'd have...
And you know what sucked?
What's that?
Was the one place that did have air conditioning was, like, the auditorium where they had the speaker and the band and all that.
Yep.
That always, the air conditioner was never working when we were there. Never.
Oh, yeah. It would go out a few times. It was just like, really? What are you people doing here? But, we could go on and on about church camp stories. We might do a church camp, another church camp talk during the summer or something like that, which is kind of far away.
That's a whole other podcast, man.
Yep. So, but no, church camp just comes to mind because the kids that I do the Newman Campus Ministry Bulletin for each year, they just got back from this really big Focus conference that's in Orlando during right after Christmas or whatever, and they all seem to have a good time with it. And so I'm always jealous that they get to go do that, and it brings back memories of my own super summer, which I don't know if I would want my daughter or my son to go to super summer because it still have that issue with well, obviously, different branches of Christianity, for one, but then also, you know, the whole not being able to have enough time to process what's happening to you and stuff. I almost feel like my kid is being indoctrinated or something and not being able to call home and be like, Mom, what's this? You know, what is this? What are they talking about? Like, once saved, always saved. What does this mean? Like, oh, goodness gracious. So, you know, but that's, like I said, we'll do more church camp stories at another time. But
sounds awesome. How did we get, man, we bounced around to some different stuff tonight.
We were talking about games, and then we talked about I was going to bring up NCAA football, but then we started talking about like old like childhood memories, and then that got into church.
I do need to talk about NCAA football some more because I do miss it.
We will save that for another
my
time.
My favorite game franchise is probably, you know, that's drastic, but I will say, I mean, one of my favorite, you know, as a gamer,
yeah,
I don't feel like any serious gamer can say, like, this is my favorite game. You know, there's so many different games that are so it's formative and important on different stages of your life that, you know, it's, like you said, it's hard to say.
Yeah. If I could only play one of those games, if I could only play one game for the rest of my life, it'd probably be Tetris. Just because there's no, like, real end goal or whatever. It's always a different
game. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's no story. No, it's just, yeah, I got you.
But Super Mario Land
is the one. I
don't know
what I would think if I had one game.
Super Mario Land is the one that I play more than anything consistently over the years. I've got that for the Game Boy, and I play that at least once every 2 or 3 days, and I can't say that about any other video game. Even though, like, some people say it's the worst Mario game, whatever. They're just being jerks when they say that. Super Mario Land is a fantastic little game.
Now, is that the original one for Super Nintendo?
No, it's the original Game Boy one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't get the right.
Where, like, the fireball is, like, bouncing around, and you're, like, inside of pyramids, and you drive a submarine and stuff like that. It's probably more nostalgia than anything, but I just love that game. It's just a fun little game to pick up and play. But Team Fortress 2, Arkham Asylum, or the Arkham series, I should say, and, that Mario Land is, those probably round out my top three or four games.
It's hard for me to really peg it on. I mean, I've played, you know, if you really sit down and think about it, if you're any kind of a gamer and think about how many different games you've probably played in your lifetime, I just don't know that I could put a... Now, a really nostalgic game for me would be Ocarina of Time.
I thought you were going to say Dragon Warrior.
That's nostalgic too. Now, don't get me wrong. That's on a different level. Like, my first memories of Nintendo are me playing Tetris, not knowing how Tetris worked, trying to build my building up to the top of the game, you know, the screen, and then getting child pissed at the game because it, like, wiped it out and it made me start over.
My wife had one single Tetris session that went for 2 hours and 10 minutes. She was like, freaking, she's amazing at Tetris. I can beat her at any other video game, but Tetris is the one that she
is
just fantastic at. Speaking of video games, that'll end up doing it for this podcast. I said speaking of video games because you can find me at onemorecastle.com where I write about replaying arcade games with the main cabinet I have in my kitchen, which is a fantastic little investment that anybody should have. And I'm also at 16-Bit Catholic on Twitter. And find me there. Find me everywhere. If you type in Dustin Faber, there's not many Dustin Fabers out there. Joey, where are you at?
Oh, there are not.
Where are you at on Twitter?
At Joey_Majors.
Anything else?
Pretty boring on there these days. I'm going to have to find out something interesting to do with my Twitter now that I'm out in the world.
You need to write a blog about your experiences with 7th grade football playing. I think that would be fun because you hear a lot of experiences about, you know, people dealing with high school football and college football and pro football, certainly. But middle school football, I don't think a lot of people really knows what goes on there. So that's your challenge in 2015. Start a blog.
There we go.
So, we will sign out. We have the Virtua Racing music playing right now from the arcade. So there you go. Yeah, great
there
little
you
game
go.
I wrote about recently on One More Castle. So, but for Joey Majors, I am Dustin Faber. We'll be back next week with James Ryan, hopefully, unless he's dead. I hope not. That would suck. We don't want James to die. Please don't die, James.
Nope, that'd be bad.
And I will tell you about my crazy new job that I just got. So, but everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great night.